Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Layup Lines podcast. I'm Michael Chapman, joined as always by Seth Horton and Nick Velasquez. Union had their first game this past week. It was a preseason game against Freed Hardeman, but how did you feel about that, Nick? 83-76 win?
I felt all right about it. I felt like we're making steps in the right direction. I mean, with our two scrimmages, we was just completely lost. But I felt like we made a lot of improvements on defense, especially down the stretch, and just being active and being in the right places. So I feel like our offense is still lagging a little bit, but I think we're starting to get more comfortable with it, and just people are starting to really get to know the system. So
yeah, it was a really, really close game till like about 4 minutes left. I think they had a like 1 point lead with like 4:20 left or so.
Union and always had this.
We was confident. Yeah, no, we were gonna win. But I was just gonna mention Casey Goodwin's play at the end. He really kind of took over offensively. What did you think about your point guard there at the end of the game?
Nothing. He's our PG, so he runs the show and gets us in the right spots, and he has to do whatever is needed to be done to make sure that we get the W. So I think he did his job, and we're going to need that from him all season.
Oh, yeah. Last year, he did everything he was asked to do. He led the team in steals and assists. He was great last year, but the shooting was on last night. He hit one, like, NBA range three-pointer right before the shot clock expired. So if he can...
Ice in his veins.
Oh, yeah. That was to take a lead, too. I think it was to erase Freed's last lead of the game.
Yeah, no, he's been looking a lot more confident, especially during the preseason, and we was playing pickup earlier in the year. So we expect a big season from him.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And we're going to need it, too.
Oh, yeah. I think the ceiling's really, really high for Casey if he can get his jump shot going this year, because that's really the one area he struggled in last year, and he wasn't bad. He shot like just a tick under 33% from three last year, and I think that was the lowest on the team, which that in and of itself is impressive.
Right. But yeah, no, he's definitely more confident, and I think coach wants him to take the open ones, take the ones that the defense gives him. So I think he'll be all right this year.
Seth, did you have any takeaways from that game?
Charlie Wilson is a grown man.
He was phenomenal, especially on the defensive end. Four blocks doesn't really tell the whole story. I mean, nobody was scoring on the inside when Charlie was on the court.
Yeah, honestly, I felt like he had more than four blocks.
Yeah, the stat sheet, or I think it was Logan said he had three blocks right at the end of the game. The play-by-play guy for the Bulldogs said he had three blocks right before the end of the game, and then he had one more after that. So the stats at least said four. It might have been more than that, though. The stats are kind of loose in these exhibitions. So yeah.
His presence in the paint was a lot bigger than just four blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, of course it was. He was definitely altering a lot of shots, and we was trying to definitely take away the three-pointer, especially after the first half they shot like 60% from three.
Yeah.
So we definitely was trying to get out on the shooters and make them put it on the floor and attack the paint, and Charlie had our back. So
yeah, absolutely.
We felt like we could gamble a little bit on defense because we know we had that foundation in the back, you know?
Yeah.
If he keeps playing like that, it's going to be a good year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, he just has to stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah.
Make sure, because there's a lot of new rules involving the post and like how they're supposed to go up with drivers that are attacking the paint. So just if he can just keep his hands straight up and keep blocking shots how he did on weak side help, I think he'll have a good year.
Oh, yeah, especially fully healthy this year. I know last year he was playing a little bit hurt with the ankle for a good bit of the year. But once he got healthy last year, I think he had six blocks against West Georgia. And that they were all critical because it was like an overtime win. So
yeah,
he'll be the defensive paint protector for sure.
Yeah, no, but he was good. He was good on Saturday.
another guy who stood out Saturday, Tyree Boykin. He wasn't really that much on my radar this year. I knew he had some ability, but I couldn't find any highlights of him on YouTube or anything, which I guess that's what – that really probably has more to do with the sports information people at the school or whatever than anybody's ability. But I hadn't just seen – I just hadn't seen him play that much. But he knocked down 5 threes in the first half.
The kid can ball. All right? I need you to understand this. Like, I was sitting there in the crowd with my friend Ben, and we're just watching it.
You guys got on TV, by the way.
We were?
Yeah, you guys got on TV, like, twice during the broadcast. You were the only hype ones in the crowd.
I mean, that's what we're there for. We're I was just cheering Nico the entire time. But we saw Tyree getting in there, and we saw how many points he had. Like, I want to say it was, like, a couple minutes into the second half. And then he just kept piling it on. We were like, jeez, man, this kid is just having a day.
Led all players in scoring, had 18 points.
Yeah, it was a good day for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to need that from him, especially just defense keying in on Charlie and some of our posts and stuff like that, and that would give us a little more room to space the floor. So we're definitely going to have to knock down shots, and he got hot.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to need him to stay hot.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tyree's going to be a big part of that. You'll be a big part of the three-point shooting, obviously. I mean.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll get it going.
Yeah.
Hopefully this weekend, now that we're opening up the real season against D2 opponents.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
We'll see how we do. It'll be a good wake-up call to see where we're at.
Yeah. Spring Hill tomorrow night, right?
Yep.
Tonight, for those of you listening, on Friday. But we're recording this on a Thursday afternoon.
It's an away game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Memphis. Spring Hill on Friday and Lemoyne-Owen on Saturday.
That's awesome. What do you know about those two teams? What kind of matchup are they
going to present? Well, right now we're focusing on Spring Hill. Mm-hmm. And they're a big rebounding team. And they crashed the glass hard, so we're really going to have to be alert of where our man is at all times, especially on the defensive end. They're flying in, crashing. I heard that Coach Niven told us that they out-rebounded a D1 opponent that they played by double digits.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're definitely going to have to box out.
We'll need Charlie and Pedro and Tevin, some of them.
Yeah, no. Guards, too.
Yeah.
And then we know that they like to set a lot of double screen aways on the offensive side. So it's really just going to be a lot of talking, communication stuff, mm-hmm. and just getting through screens so that our helpers don't have to help too long and then getting back to their man. So we'll work on that more today as we're prepping for them, and we'll watch some film, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And get ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm excited for tomorrow, man. I wish I could go to the game, but the girls are playing here, so.
I know. You got to support the girls, too.
Yeah, yeah. They're both at 7 o'clock. I hate that. I'll probably just, like, I'll be on camera part of the time, but anytime I'm not running one of the cameras, I'll just be, like, on my laptop watching you guys' game while the girls are playing, assuming that they broadcast it.
I'm not sure. There might be a live audio.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if they're gonna broadcast it.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that. I would think that Spring Hill, is it at Spring Hill or is it?
No. It's at Lemoyne-Owen.
Okay. So the Saturday game, I would imagine there will be some kind of streaming, because there usually is for road games.
We'll see.
Just go to Lemoyne-Owen's athletic site.
Hopefully just check it out. I'm not too sure about it.
Yeah. But the girls are going to be playing on Friday at 7 as well, and then on Saturday at 4 o'clock.
You know,
big game
play?
Against. Yeah, they play Barry on Friday, and then big game against Nova Southeastern on Saturday. That's become kind of a rivalry since we've gotten into D2. I think we play them pretty much every year. They've really similar programs. They've been one of the top teams in Division II. Really since Union came up into Division II, and then both programs were ranked last year when we played at the beginning of the year. Had a little bit of an off year for both of them, mostly because of injuries and stuff, but they're both looking good this year, and I think could have a big impact.
We've got a lot of confidence in the girls team this year, man.
I do too.
Well, they have two of their main posts out right now, so
yeah.
Yeah.
And Jada Smith as well.
And Jada Smith.
It won't really be, like, don't take these two games. If they don't go so well, don't take that as an indication of what's going to happen all year long. But, I mean, they've got ability outside of those three players, too. Chelsea Shumpert might be the best player in the conference.
And if you watch the game, the whole team, when they played Freed Hardeman, was just passing the ball, like, a lot. They were playing within the system and looking for the open shot. And they did a real good job. Chelsea Shumpert hit this real stupid layup that just should not have gone.
Yeah, she was like falling down.
Yeah.
It should have been a foul for one thing. They didn't call a foul, but
that was crazy, man. But I saw that and the entire gym just went loud, man. It was crazy.
Oh yeah. But I mean, there's definitely gonna be a lot of passing when you've got 2 point guards starting, 2 shooting guards starting, and then a power four at center. So the lineup's been really weird with Bria Gaines and Tierra Caldwell out. But
it's some pace and space type offense going on, and it looks good.
Oh, yeah. They looked really good on Saturday, especially down the stretch. But I'm excited for these games this weekend. Nova Southeastern's going to be really, really big. But
you know what else is really big?
What's that?
Zeke.
Zeke. Ezekiel Elliott.
I don't even know.
I don't know what's
going on with him anymore.
I don't know. Yeah. Such a weird suspension thing. So Ezekiel Elliott for the Cowboys, the NFL did like a year-long investigation and concluded that he probably abused his girlfriend, or his ex-girlfriend now, and they suspended him for 6 games. And then he appealed the suspension, and then they overruled the appeal, and that's been going back and forth like all season. But
technically, he hasn't sat out not once this year yet.
No, he hasn't. There's been multiple times where the NFL said he's for sure not playing Sunday, and then like the next day there's a report that Ezekiel Elliott finds like another loophole and gets another appeal. But there's another report today, as of like I want to say 2 hours or so ago, that Zeke will be sitting out on Sunday and the 6-game suspension will be upheld. And that's that.
So watch your Twitter feeds for Saturday morning when you read that he's playing.
But by the time this podcast airs, there's a good chance that
he's probably playing.
He's going to be playing again. It's part like every single week.
Part of me wants to be mad at the incompetence of the NFL to not suspend someone for domestic abuse. But then another part of me is like, man, this guy's just getting away with whatever he wants. And I almost feel like he's gone this far, you might as well just give up now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing. I think I would, at this point, just let him play out this season and then work it out in the off season, because he's missed practices and stuff, which isn't fair, because if the six-game suspension does get overturned, then it's not fair that he had to miss, like, 3 or 4 practices.
Maybe just levy, like, a super fine.
Yeah. I don't know. But
I also, I mean, it's also that the NFL doesn't really have hard proof that he actually abused his girlfriend. So I wouldn't say it's the incompetence of the NFL that he's letting him play, but the incompetence that they're trying to suspend him and they don't have proof that he actually abused his girlfriend.
Right.
Fair point.
Basically, what happened there is his ex-girlfriend provided a bunch of pretty good evidence, and then Zeke wouldn't give up his cell phone and wouldn't give up any of his records and didn't provide any evidence that he didn't do it. So, and then he got mad that they suspended him, which that's fine if he didn't do it. I understand defending himself, but that's just kind of what happened there.
So it's like, did you do it? I don't know. Maybe.
And then they suspended him and he was like, no, I didn't. What are you talking about? You have no proof.
That's so dumb.
Yeah. I just don't know at this point anymore.
The NFL this season has really just been a dumpster fire of, like, off-the-field issues.
Yeah. We had the Texans-Seahawks game. That was good. I think that was the only good thing that happened in the NFL this year. And then Deshaun Watson tore his ACL.
Yeah, well, that was bad.
Yeah. I feel bad.
That was not part of the good column.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Titans fan, so as much as I want the Texans to be bad, I feel bad for Deshaun Watson, man. He's a good kid.
Especially with the year that he was having this year.
Yeah.
Don't worry, he'll be back.
He
single-handedly beat South Carolina with a torn meniscus, I think. So,
I don't know how you play through something like that. He tore his meniscus during that game, right?
He had torn it, like, I want to say about a month before, but it was still, like, messed up.
Oh, my gosh.
And he just came back and played because he wanted to play against South Carolina.
That's ridiculous. Deshaun Watson is not human.
I remember that game, too.
I want to say he had something like 300 yards passing and, like, close to 100 yards rushing, maybe.
100 yards rushing on a torn meniscus.
I don't know if he had.
I said close. If he had that much. So I think it was.
We'll have another fact check segment.
Yeah, we'll fact check that
in next week. But that would be insane if he did. I want to look at that now. But we'll have an update on that next week on layup lines. But no, I mean Deshaun Watson's just a good kid, man. He donated his first ever paycheck in the NFL to help support Hurricane Harvey victims. I mean, he's just a good kid, and I just hate to see something like that happen to him. But are you fact-checking it right now, Seth?
Yeah, it was a torn ACL.
It was a torn ACL, so we got one thing wrong. But, I mean, yeah. What's the...
I couldn't remember if it was an ACL or a meniscus.
There's not practically a whole lot of difference there.
Yeah. I'm looking for stats.
Well,
right
actually,
now.
A torn meniscus is not that long to recover, but an ACL is like a whole year. So.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like it's a little bit of a difference.
I feel like before surgery, though, it might be a little easier to play on a torn ACL. I know there's been people who come back in games and finish out the game on a torn ACL. I know Phillip Rivers did it once. I want to say Matthew Stafford did it one time and like threw a game-winning touchdown pass for the Lions only win of the year. So
okay, so it wasn't he didn't have a whole bunch of yards rushing, but he had two touchdowns rushing.
Okay,
so that's what.
How many yards did he have?
He had 269 yards passing on 14 for 19, and 13 yards rushing for two touchdowns.
Okay, that sounds more correct. That's so crazy though, on a torn ACL, just to play on a torn ACL.
Yeah,
is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know how we got from Zeke's suspension to Deshaun Watson. Oh, yeah, a crappy NFL year. The NFL has just been bad. So that's why we need to transition now to the best pro sport that's out there right now, the NBA.
Good transition. Smooth.
Smooth. That's right. But the Celtics, best team in the NBA right now, 10-2, 1-10 straight. I think they're the first team, or the third team, excuse me, to ever start 0-2 and then win 10 straight.
Yeah. We are the only team to have ever won 10 straight games with six rookies playing at least one game during that stretch.
Wow.
That is a stat, ESPN. That is some stat.
So there.
Per the Elias Sports Bureau.
I don't know where they come up with these stats, but that is
I
want to
work for
stat.
The Elias Sports Bureau.
I
man.
Know. Could you check how many times Kyrie had his towel in his right hand and how that correlated to them winning by at least 5 points or more?
No, they win. They've got a winning percentage of like 20% more when he has his towel in his left hand. Nick.
Oh yeah, you're right.
No, literally last season. This is one of my favorite stats. They kept track of what kind of headband Isaiah was wearing and like how good his stats were in those headbands.
Speaking of headbands now, I forgot to mention this when we talked about y'all's game the other day. Nico Suave over here added a headband to his arsenal.
It looked so good.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
I'm keeping the headband.
I'm so happy. You don't traditionally see a lot of guards wearing headbands. I mean, obviously Isaiah does, but usually that's more of like a small forward, power forward type thing. But, I mean, it looks good on you, man. I love it.
No, I mean, it's not really even like a normal headband. Like, it's more like the ones like the football players wear.
Yeah.
And so I had actually got it from a friend, and I started wearing it in pickup, and I was like... I think I'm going to wear this in the games.
So you're keeping it?
I'm keeping it. Yeah.
I love it.
When I first saw it, I was trying to figure out, all right, is that a headband or did he wrap a towel around his head?
Oh, yeah, it's a big old headband.
It looks good, though. It does look good. I like it.
But I might switch it up, though, between white and black.
Okay.
Because we got some black in our jerseys now, so.
Oh, yeah.
I might wear the black. Good. Yeah.
We'll keep stats on that. Yeah, see how many points you score.
If I wear the black next game and I have 40, then I'm going black the rest of the year.
Oh yeah. But what was the Isaiah stats you were talking about, Seth?
I don't remember what all the exact stats were because I saw these like on Twitter, like Celtics Twitter.
But they were just tracking like all the different headbands and
stuff.
They
were tracking like the points and the field goal percentages and stuff. And I think his best headband was white with a green stripe down it.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought his orange headband was really good that he wore.
Nah.
I don't even recall him wearing an orange headband.
I think you're thinking of Melo.
Maybe. I probably am.
Yeah, I don't think he wore an orange headband.
I probably am.
There is no orange anywhere in Celtics jerseys. So.
Wait, no. I'm thinking of the Photoshop pictures of him in a Cavs jersey. I was just thinking of the one that looked the best is the thing. No offense to the Celtics, but that he looks real good in a Cavs jersey. And Kyrie looks real good in a Celtics jersey. So,
Chad, this is still a sensitive subject.
I'm sorry, Seth. We'll move on. We'll move on to a couple of teams that are struggling this year that shouldn't be.
Cleveland is one of them.
Cleveland, the Bucks are 12th place in the East. I know Nick didn't want to talk about this, but his Thunder are 12th place in the West.
We haven't even beat a West team yet.
Oh, my gosh. You haven't?
No.
That's terrible.
All our wins have been against the East.
I mean, you should have beat – you should have probably beat Minnesota that one game when Andrew Wiggins had the –
when he banked
shot.
In from Curry range, top of the key. Yeah. We should have won that game.
Yeah. But, yeah, you should – so you should be 5-5, and that would put you in – tied with the Clippers for 9th place.
But, no, I mean – like we talked about last podcast, it is still very early.
Yeah.
Cleveland will get it together. OKC will get it together, and we'll get on a roll.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. It's just, it's interesting, especially Cleveland is the one that perplexes me the most, I think. Them and Milwaukee. Because, like, the Thunder, it's three superstars who have never played together yet. Yeah. But, like, Cleveland, I understand that they've got a lot of new faces, but LeBron is still there, K-Love's still there, and there's a lot of guys and a lot of
big contributors.
They have
a lot of star power. Like, they have big names of guys past their prime. Yeah. So
that's true.
It makes sense to me that we might be a little bit, you know, overreacting to the names that are on the roster.
Yeah.
As far as Milwaukee goes, they're really young.
That's true.
They're, like, I think they did just trade Greg Monroe for Eric Bledsoe also.
Yeah.
So that's
thing. We do. They did, that did happen.
Yeah. That's going to be really interesting. So I guess Malcolm Brogdon is going to come off of the bench now?
No. He's going to the shooting guard.
I think Snell's going to be coming off the bench.
Yeah, Snell's coming off the bench.
Oh, yeah. Does Chris Middleton start at small forward?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably. I was thinking he was the shooting guard.
You can
but
shift Giannis anywhere on the court. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. Right. So.
No, I forgot Snell was starting. That makes way more sense.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So it should be Eric Bledsoe, Malcolm Brogdon,
Chris Middleton,
Giannis,
and
Thonmaker.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
When Jabari gets back, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have Jabari coming off the bench, like, when he gets back for a little bit.
Just for rehab or whatever. Or just
slowly
working back. Because
he's tore his ACL twice now, I think.
Yeah.
They'll definitely monitor him.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be like a Joel Embiid situation where he can't play back-to-backs, but they'll monitor his minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think they'll get it together. They'll come up with it, and they'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But speaking of Joel Embiid, the Sixers are on a 5-game win streak right now.
They are.
And I don't know why.
Ben Simmons has been playing well.
Ben Simmons
has
played well.
He's close to a triple-double or has a triple-double every night.
Yeah.
So.
Dario Saric has come on the last 5 games or so, too. He was struggling earlier in the year. That surprised me a lot. But he's been really, really strong for them.
Yeah, that happens, man. Sometimes you just get off the slow starts. Things get in your head.
Yeah.
But he's going to be doing all right. Philly's doing well. I'm interested to see how the rest of the season plays out for them because they are also a super young team. and I'm not sure like if they're going to be able to keep up, you know, their level of play for the entire season.
Yeah, they're going to lose Saturday in all likelihood. They're playing Golden State, so this win streak will come to an end soon.
If they beat Golden State, I give up.
We'll just pick them to win the finals at that point.
That's it. Philly for the title.
Trust the process.
Sam Hinkie, we're forever in your debt.
No, but yeah, so do you guys want to do the picks segment? We've renamed the picks segment from Let's Do Picks just to named. Oh yeah, we've named the picks segment. It's called No Picking Favorites now. Basically, we each pick one underdog. We have a really convoluted set of rules that I don't like explaining every week. Listen to another podcast if you want to hear the exact rules. But Seth is in first place right now with 19.5 points. Nick's in second right now with 12 points. And I am in dead last, as always, with 2.5.
That is terrible.
Yeah, it really is. We've been doing this for like 7 weeks, I want to say, and I've won one time.
Well, really, I've only won twice, so.
Yeah.
I think I've won two, maybe three times.
You've won three. I've just been bad. I've had so many close calls. Idaho lost by 3 Detroit last week. I was going to get 18.5 points from that, but it's frustrating. But anyways, Seth, since you're in first place,
yeah,
you want to pick first?
Go first, Scrub.
Let's see. I remember I said I was going to pick someone, and I completely forgot who it was.
It was
Missouri.
Tennessee over Missouri.
It was Tennessee over Mizzou.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just both really bad teams.
Yeah.
I don't have any confidence that either of them won't lose.
Yeah, I don't have any confidence in either of them to win by 10.5, and that's the spread. So.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Missouri does have some offense.
Yeah.
Like, what's the name of the
quarterback? Missouri has a good offense. Drew Lock.
Drew Lock. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah. He's a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
And so Missouri's offense is okay. Tennessee's defense is spotty, but sometimes they're really good. Hopefully they'll be really good this week. And also, if Butch Jones loses to Missouri, I think he loses his job immediately. So this is a must win for his job.
Regardless, he's getting fired. So if he wins this week or not, it is, does not matter.
Maybe he just really wants the buyout, so he's just gonna take it.
Drive you know, around. Is that what's going on in Tennessee? Butch Jones trying to get his buyout, $8 million, get to coach somewhere else next year.
Who's no gonna idea. Hire him?
Coastal Carolina, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he'll get a job at like a smaller Division One or something like that.
Yeah,
maybe high school.
Maybe he'll be like a Lane Kiffin, go to like a school like FAU and just have the highest scoring offense in the country.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, I don't think Butch Jones is as good a coach as Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin knows football.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm definitely not going that far. but I think something like that could happen, like a Charlie Strong going to USF after Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Nick, who are you picking this week?
So this week I'm gonna go with Iowa over Wisconsin. They've had some pretty big wins.
What's the spread there?
It is 12.5.
Wow.
Also, Wisconsin hasn't really played a lot of tough opponents.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot, actually.
This will probably be their biggest test of the season.
So far.
They need to come through.
Yeah. Wisconsin, if the Big Ten wants a team in the college football playoffs, it has to be Wisconsin now. Because everyone else has two losses.
Yeah. I don't see Wisconsin getting in there.
Yeah, so Big Ten might be left out. The Pac-12 might be left out. But the big, I mean, really any conference but the SEC, there's a chance they're going to get left out this year with the weird Notre Dame is good thing. So,
true.
Should be really interesting. But
who are you going with, chap?
I'm going to go, I'm going to use the same strategy as last week. I only lost by a little bit.
He's desperate.
So, I am picking against Troy. Coastal Carolina is a pretty decent team. Coastal Carolina is not horrible. They're 16-point underdogs at home. How can you not pick Coastal Carolina, man?
Child.
CCU for the win.
How many points is that?
That's 16. That's 16 whole points, and Coastal Carolina isn't horrible. They're not good, but...
What is Troy?
I know a couple of people who go to CCU.
That is the vocabulary of a desperate man. They're not horrible, but they're not good.
No,
but they're not horrible.
They're at home. I know a couple of people who go to CCU, so I'm gonna Facebook message them, tell them root real hard in the stands.
You need to pump up your team this week. I need to win my segment, so make sure do whatever
favorites.
You can so that they win.
Chap, I really think you need to try chipping away at this. Because, like, Nick and I have only won, like, a few more than you. I've won 3. He's won 2.
I've only won one.
So chip away at the lead, man. Go for ones that are close.
I am confident in Coastal Carolina, Seth.
All right, man.
But they're not horrible. They're not good.
They're not horrible.
They can always be vain.
The crowd's going to be pumped up, okay? I'm telling you, it's going to be... Coastal Carolina is going to pick up a win this week. Pick up the upset.
Are they even on local TV? Like,
I don't know, man. I won't be able to watch them. They're. I don't know if they have them on local TV.
You're gonna have to search for that game.
Yeah, no, I won't be able to watch it.
He'll
don't
find
get me
the
wrong.
One guy in the world that's tweeting this game.
Yeah, no, I'll find a live stream somewhere.
Oh, okay. You're not watching that game, chat.
I know. I couldn't watch my Idaho over Troy game last week either. I was reloading the score.
I think the
scoreboard was like 7 minutes behind. It was bad.
Last week's picks did not go well for any of us.
No, I lost by 3. I don't know what y'all lost by.
I lost by a lot.
I feel like Western Kentucky should have beat Vandy, but it's okay.
Vanderbilt has 4 wins now. With our APR, we only need one more to get to a bowl game, boys.
You guys are playing Kentucky this week?
We're playing Kentucky this week. We've got UT. We've got Missouri. We've got 3 opportunities for a win.
Okay, Kentucky's going to win. Why don't you go ahead
bowl
and put that
eligibility, Seth.
I say Butch Jones comes alive from the dead before Vandy wins.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. This podcast has actually just turned into a hate on Vandy podcast.
A little bit.
Yeah, well, you started it.
All right. I'm ending it now. We're going to go. Tune in next week for another episode of Way Up Lions. Thanks for listening.